Good Life. I'm Dean Wilson. I'm so glad you're with us wherever you're joining us. If you're watching us on TV here in the Santa Barbara, California area, we welcome you. So great to meet so many of you when we're out and about. We're grateful for your partnership in this. And so many of you watch us all around the world on all these different platforms. It's amazing. And we love hearing from you, and we just love that you're with us. We're talking about the good stuff, and we're talking about things like honor and family and restoration and life and forgiveness and love. And we're doing it with all kinds of great people. And we've had people of all walks of life, authors and pastors and teachers and writers and athletes and coaches, young people and old people, life stories. It's been a little bit of everything. And so we're so grateful. And I feel like I'm so blessed to be here every single time because I get to meet these people and unpack the gold, the God in each one. So I'm so grateful to be here myself. GoodLifeTelevision.org is, of course, where you can go. There's a YouTube channel. There's a podcast platform, Good Life Conversations. And I would love to have you check it out. So I'm so grateful today. Chris and Julie Bennett are with me. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So happy to be here.
Great to be here.
Love it. I've loved reading about you over the last 24 hours or so and kind of hearing your story, and there's a lot there. And then I specifically do want to highlight this project, this labor of love book called Fighting for Family. We're going to be talking about the Bennett's vision and why they wrote this book in a minute, but I'd encourage you to check it out. The Relentless Pursuit of Building Belonging. I don't think this is really something our culture needs.
No.
We kind of have this wired.
We've got to figure it out, right?
Yeah, we all can grow in these areas. Family is a great topic, but Welcome Home Entertainment has kind of been this work, Welcome Home Lifestyle, which I also want to get to. But let's go back. We were talking before we came on. You came from Norman, Oklahoma. You're born and raised in Dallas, right?
That's right.
And I spent 10 years in Dallas. Yes. And then Baylor. Did you meet at Baylor?
Well, we don't have time for that story, but best friend from high school went to Baylor, said, "You've got to meet this kid, Chris Bennett. You're going to want to marry him." And I said, "Really?" A year and a half later, sure enough, I meet him and I say, "You're right. I'm going to marry this boy someday." And 23 years later, almost 6 years together, here we are. So, yeah.
Oh my
and God. It's just been super easy, you know, just a breeze.
No challenges.
Yeah, right.
No issues.
Yeah. Earth is pretty easy. So you get married. So, first of all, we're just out of curiosity, we're in Dallas, Fort Worth, were you?
So, like Richardson, North Dallas area.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What about you?
Well, we were in North Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah, the University Park area.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, we spent almost 10 years in that great place.
I was baptized at Park Cities Baptist, which is...
Park Cities Baptist? Mm-hmm. They have real small buildings.
Small, not very pretty, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The church thing is a whole different ballgame down there.
It is.
But we did meet, right before Baylor. I'm from Oklahoma, and then I ended up
Norman,
transferring
Oklahoma.
To Baylor from the University of Oklahoma.
The tornadoes were a new thing for us.
Yeah, oh, that is the whole thing.
That's a whole, yeah.
Oklahoma, I mean, it's no joke.
Oh, yeah. It's no
Your
joke.
Prayer life goes up. You know,
your prayer life.
You never know.
I got to the point where I'm kind of like, well, if this is going to hit our house, we're toast.
We're toast.
We don't have a basement, Lord, if this is it,
everybody.
We'll go to the interior closet.
I'm trying to think what year it was, but the massive tornado that came through, no, not 99, sorry, when we were pastoring the church in Norman, Oklahoma. So for 10 years, from 2009 to 2018, we had planted a pastor church in Norman, Oklahoma, and a giant tornado came through Moore, which is right next to Oklahoma, and just demolished the city. And everyone had a basement after that. So
I
can't remember what year that was.
The tornadoes would be like mile wide or something.
Five. Yeah. Big time, yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, anyway. So not to be negative, but I mean tornadoes. Yeah. And then why California? What happened?
Yeah, I mean,
why would you do this?
Yeah, we tell people you have to be called, I think, to go. We for sure felt this sense that we were called to be involved more in media and kind of entertainment and kind of finding ways to create family with people, and particularly in the LA area. So many people have left everything, left their home, their family to kind of pursue a dream, and it's a very lonely, isolating place. And so we through a series of ways that God spoke very loudly, very clearly over about a 6-month time frame. It got so loud to the point of, and I used to always say to our church in Oklahoma, you know, if God says to do something, say yes before you know how. And that sounds really good in a sermon soundbite. Really difficult when you're trying to live it out.
Right.
So we just got to the point. We knew God was calling us. So we just did what we always do is, all right, Lord, we're trusting you in this. So we moved to L.A. in the fall of 2018 with our four kids. And I tell people, don't try this at home. No home, no job, no income. But just literally, I land at LAX with my two oldest boys. She's back packing up the house in Oklahoma, and we were going to sell that house and kind of use the sell of that to give us a six-month on-ramp. Met a family that lived in Burbank that essentially just said, hey, come live with us. We're empty nesters until your house sells. Contract falls through. We land in LA as a family, and kind of you can pick it up from there.
Yeah,
we had a crazy thing
happen. Been there 2 weeks. He was there 2 weeks with my oldest boys. I came with my younger kids, kind of homeschool them. We are just going to take a time of rest.
Right.
And that time of rest.
LA is such a great place.
You know, it was like we start out as this adventurous family following God, even though everyone thought we were crazy, and to where life gave us no choice.
Right.
But to be a brave one, and being brave as we walked alongside the Lord was about 3 weeks after we were there, our house fell through. So no money there. Everyone's like, now you got to really come back, because I had just gotten a call. I had a biopsy, just kind of a troublesome area under my arm that I'd kind of put off a little bit, and I had stage 3 breast cancer. Later stage 3 breast cancer, and they said, you need to start chemo like in the next 2 weeks. So then it's like, okay, guys, clearly you've missed God. You know, you guys need to come back. Now you still own your home. And, you know, long story short, it was, again, seeking God. You know, I mean, we believe in, like, obviously, as the word talks about, we are receiving wisdom and counsel from others.
Right.
So we're not diminishing that by any means.
Right.
But at the end of the day, as you take that counsel and you hear from God, it's like, all right, Lord, and sometimes it is crazy. It doesn't make sense to other people. Mm-hmm. But when you hear from the Lord on what to do, that's what you're standing on when things get shaky.
Yes.
And so we chose to stay. So we chose to stay. And, you know, right before that, we knew it was time to move out. So before the call of when I heard that I received, that I had breast cancer, the Lord said it's time to move on. So from the family we were living with. So we decided to move out, and then the cancer came. And that's when we started on a journey. We moved 20 times in 6.5 months while I did chemo and the 8 suitcases that we came with. Our stuff was still in storage. We were waiting for the house to sell, and we were on quite a journey. So
we were people of faith.
Yes.
Well, the crazy thing was the month after we moved to LA, before the cancer, before the house thing happened, a guy that I didn't know very well at the time, who's become a really close friend, messaged me from Oklahoma. He tracked my number down, and he said, God woke me up at 4 a.m. to pray for your family. I don't know if you remember me, and I had to think about it. And he said, essentially, he goes, I feel like God said, it's your faith that led you there, but it's your trust that's going to keep you there. And I remember reading it and thinking, well, that's kind and sweet and cute. And then as soon as everything hit and the cancer in the home and all this stuff, I just came back to that, because realizing, you know, trust is the undercurrent of faith. You know, we can have this big faith to do something, but to trust God is to stay in it and believe him and take him at his word. So that's kind of the journey we went on.
And, you know, it's not heroic to obey God. It's just, it's the beauty of what he's done for us that we get to then choose to follow him. And it was really, it did seem wild and crazy, but it was during those 6.5, 7 months of moving around, watching God provide, Airbnbs, different places, but watching the Lord bring people, speaking about the book and speaking about this message of why we came to LA to create media and hopeful, inspirational content around family, because really family changes culture.
Right.
And God is about changing culture around the heart of family. And so here we are in this venture, like going, wow, we don't even have a home. And we're talking about the home, because home is not where you live, it's
That's
who
right.
you do life with.
That's
and
right.
so we began, we were on this journey of God, walking through a very unknown time in our life with our four kids in a pretty like transformational, vulnerable time, like the ages that they were, you know, what, five, six years ago. And we watched God just begin to weave a story that he had already written, but it was just now awakened to us. And again, we don't have time for all the details. You could read the book, but you know, it was quite a journey, because the book is not just about our story. Our story is woven in over years, and and different trials and you know, the mountaintops, the low things, about why it's worth creating belonging in the midst of whatever you're going through.
Right.
The boundaries, the betrayals, the adventure, the risk, all of those right. things, and how they fit together in a bigger story.
Right. So. And God created that institution. I mean, and we were talking with the previous guest about this, the power of that and the and going through stuff as a family is part of the deal on planet Earth, and it's amazingly different when you can go through something together.
Yeah,
I think
that's right.
And you're, you know, your chips are in the middle, and you're like, okay, here we go. You know, I think that's a. I know adventure is an overused word, but it is an adventure with God. Did you start the church, or did you just
the one in Malibu?
Yeah.
No, it was planted in around 2018, and then I just came on and started about a year and a half ago in 2022.
I always say, be careful what you tell God you'll never do again.
Right.
We didn't think we would pastor a church. He would pastor a church in that context. It's, okay, it looks like this. And so we were on that five-year cancer journey. I had a relapse when COVID hit. So I was in remission for about a year. Then my cancer came back with a vengeance. So it was another hard battle. And when we came to the end of almost being cancer-free again, it was this opportunity of the church, and it's like, wait a second, that's not what we're doing anymore. We're doing these things and this things for God. And God's like, oh, actually, I have a different plan. But that's not what we thought you said. And so many times we get caught up on what we thought God said here. And he's like, I did say that for now, but now I'm doing a new thing here.
Yeah,
and now I'm you know, changing. And so it was, again, another act of obedience and faith to step out.
You strike me as a pastor, shepherd kind of a guy.
So
is that
much.
Right?
I've been accused of such.
That's a compliment.
No. I do have a deep love for people. And I think, you know, going through hard, you do get empathy in a deeper level. I mean, I think she has a level of empathy because of what she's been through. But I think even coming to a place like L.A. And just seeing the brokenness and the longing, people are looking for belonging and they're looking for love in all the wrong places, you know. And I think that's why even writing the book was our attempt to say we all have trauma and pain from what we've been through, all of us do, whether it's from church pain or some institution that called itself family but that hurt us. So then you see so many people to say, then, okay, forget the church, forget family, whatever, I'll just do life on my own. And I think we were writing this book in the midst of her cancer came back and then COVID hit. And I think COVID just accentuated everything. Right. And you just realize, oh, nobody is thriving on their own.
Right.
And we need each other, but we need tools to figure out how do we overcome our pain, our trauma, instead of becoming a victim or blame. How do we get to a healthy place? Because there's no such thing as perfect family, but there's such thing as a healthy family, but it actually requires real work, which is kind of, you know, why we wrote this.
Yeah, that's
so powerful. There is overwhelming levels of isolation, addiction, suicide, despair, depression right now, especially among the younger people and the COVID thing. I mean, there's a real need for voices out there, so I appreciate that.
I love the statistic.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was just in May that the U.S. Surgeon General put out this 85-page document, and it was just confirming because we're finishing the manuscript. And his document he released that with the title was Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation.
Right.
85 pages. And he was basically saying it's the greater health risk than anything we're facing, more than heart issues or whatever may be.
Right.
And then you've got sociologists now saying, you know, depression is what's being treated, but the root is loneliness.
Right.
So it's just manifesting through depression. And so it's not a quick fix, but it, you know, Psalm 68, God places the lonely in families.
Right.
So I think about God's heart of looking throughout the earth and finding anyone who's disconnected, doesn't know how valuable they are, doesn't have a sense of family. And you may not be married and have kids, but you can still experience family.
Yeah.
And in some ways, Jesus, you know, he talks about family through his church. It's the household. It's a place where to collectively bring people that are disconnected.
Bring them in. That's my heart, too. Just bring them in.
Yeah.
We need to bring people in.
Want his house to be full.
The previous guest we had on, Sean and Trudy Morris, they were talking about the church is a family of families.
I love that.
Which I think, what a powerful thought that is. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about starting here, which of course is where we all start, and then joining together and bring them in. We need to have more of that.
That's right.
You know, people are alone and isolated and depressed. And I mean, it's time to go and bring them in and love on them.
If you're on the edge of a cliff and you're like, I was thinking about when I was with one of my kids, and they're like, "Mom, we're like cliff jumping, you know, into like whatever." And it's like, "Well, I'll go if you go." And that's how we do in life. It's like, this looks really fun, but it's also really scary. Yeah, right. And I don't know how that's going to turn out. But somebody went before me. I think it's okay. And it's like, I'll jump if you jump. And it's so right. powerful. And it's like, okay, I'll take you to church. I'll go to this group. Yeah. I'll be a part of this. But you don't understand. I was really hurt before. You don't know what my family life was like. Well, you don't know this. And like, no, but he does. Yeah, and right. when we don't do it alone, he's bringing those pieces, yeah, you know, right. at the proper time. It's what he does. He goes, I hold out my hand and I give you your food at the proper time. And then it repeats again in that same psalm. I think it's
145.
145. Thank you. I was about to say 45. The and he says, there you go. You should know. That. I open my hand and I give you your food at the proper time. And yeah. I think that food is like just the heart of family, right? So I'm opening my hand. I don't know what to do, but I'll open my hand and give it to you exactly what you need. So for us, moving 20 times was... sometimes it was somebody opening their home who had just met us at church, barely knew us, but say, we're leaving for 2 weeks. You can... sleep on our floor, have our master bedroom, we can do these. That was a part of God giving us his food at the proper time.
Yeah, right.
It's the kid that was just brought into a foster care family. Oh, I just gave them their food at the proper time. It's
right.
Multiple things.
And we can be part of that.
Yeah.
What are the ages of your kids now?
So Bo, our oldest, is 19. Okay. Nate is
Nate
is 18. And the cool part, going to Baylor, he just got a full scholarship to go play quarterback at Baylor. So we literally dropped him off a week ago. So he graduated early as a senior, and he's in spring football. So that's a full circle redemptive with all our kids through, and that's a whole other really cool God story. And then Brooks is 14.
See, I keep making him 15.
Yeah, you're rounding up. Don't round up. We're trying to keep him young.
I'm not ready for it. Yeah.
And then our daughter Joy is 12.
Yeah.
So 19 down to 12.
Yes, sir. Three boys and a girl. Yeah, they've been through it, but they get
it. Did you face really mortality in this whole thing?
That's a good question.
That's a great question. Yeah, I think going through what I went through and with family, it just puts everything in perspective. It's like everything that we've ever preached or he's ever preached or we've ever talked about. You're like, do I really believe everything?
Right.
Do I take God at his word? And those things are put before you. And I really believe it's not a cliche thing to say, but like God doesn't waste anything.
Yes.
When we take the invitation to walk him with it. Like, you're like, well, I feel like you wasted that, right? But he gives me a choice not to have it wasted.
That's right.
But he doesn't force us. Mm-hmm. It's always an invitation. So I think that that invitation that constantly comes from the heart of a good father is like, instead of like carrying this envelope around, like, God's really good. This is great. He's like, hey, do you want to open that? And I'm like, well, I don't know. He's like, I promise, but haven't I proved faithful? Even when there was mystery behind it, even when it felt unfair. Okay, yes, I think you have. Okay, open it. So what that did for me, the mortality, was like, live or die. I mean, and I don't mean it sounds dramatic or this or that. Like, this is who you are. Like, your character has been unfailing for me. And so, yeah, we were faced with that, especially the second time. One of my daughter, who would, if she was sitting here today, would share openly with you that she had a really, I mean, PTSD really crept in when there was a night after my first round of chemo the second time, very intense chemo, had a severe reaction to actually not the cancer, but a certain drug, and it was COVID. They wouldn't let me in. I was going septic, and they didn't think I was going to make it. And Joy, my daughter, came out of her room, heard her brothers crying, didn't know where everybody went, said, what's going on? And they're like, we don't know if mom's going to make it. And she thought, I feel alone. Nobody's keeping me in the loop, and I don't know if my mom's going to make it. She was 7, 8 years old, maybe. And it was a year later when she started to, out of that PTSD, experience a lot of separation anxiety. I'm now homeschooling her for a year, and God's, we don't have time for all of that story, but working through it. And she's like, wow, I realized that the things I was keeping buried weren't helping me. And then God, her words, God was inviting me in to not waste what was hard. And so she can now have what she would call like her true confession of like, I have been afraid. When mom is 5 minutes late to pick me up from school, I wonder, will someone not tell me what's going on? And is mom going to make it? And I was a year and a half cancer-free at the time. And so, yeah, I mean, maybe that's a little more to your question.
But God has his hand on Joy.
Yes.
In a powerful way.
Yeah,
that
he does.
Suffering is never meaningless is how I phrase it. But
it's
the thinking about that, like... A little girl who experiences that, you can go, oh, God, what in the world?
Yeah.
But then you can realize that's going to be part of her story and her power.
Yeah.
I mean, which it sounds like you're, yeah. We did a lot of homeschool too, but I love that. But yeah. Just, that's amazing.
If somebody, our friend who runs a girls magazine, just reached out to her about a month ago, and they're going to put her on the cover, and they had her share her story.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And so she's been writing and answering these questions, to your point of, God doesn't waste anything, wasn't easy, but you know, you kind of wouldn't trade it. That's the mystery of it all. And so we've just seen our kids get that inner life of endurance and character and really seeing God come through in the midst of a lot of pain and uncertainty, where they all have a very real faith because of it. And I honor her because she always walked. I mean, there was an appropriate vulnerability. We weren't putting undue things on our kids,
right.
But we brought them in. When we moved to LA, when we were going through the journey, we've always said, you know, we're going to do this together. And so because of that, I think our kids have not felt like outsiders. They've always felt like, you know, we're moving through this together. And there's like a Proverbs that says in the Passion translation, it says, you know, family sticks together through all kinds of trouble. And I can't imagine when people don't have that family unit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's why, again, we have to help people find it outside of sometimes even their natural.
Right.
For sure, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's become her own story of, because every kid, you know, grief, cancer doesn't play fair. Life doesn't play fair.
Right.
But God never changes. And so how do those hold space together? Right. How do you hold space for, but mom, you're cancer free. And like, we've been praying and like believing that this is not going to happen again. And now they've given like really gloom and doom news in the natural. Mm. How do we grieve and have hope at the same time and hold space? Mm. And that's how we were like, and then to give space as a family to not be okay.
Right.
It's okay to not be okay.
It's okay to not be okay.
But also find hope in that. It's okay, you know, those, again, we don't have time to go into all of that, but it was really powerful. And for Joy, again, I'm not sharing anything she wouldn't share, so I just want to be clear about that. But she wrote recently, she said, you know, I watched my older brothers, and all of them have a really unique gift. Like, one is a full-time artist, he's incredible, and then you've got the football player, and you have this, you have all, and she said, I'm not that great at sports. I've tried, I don't really know where I fit. And it became much more loud for her after what we went through, for some reason. And she said, and one day she broke down in the car, because I was a singer for years. I led worship teams and did different stuff, and she loves to sing. And the way she was healing was, I want to be just like my mom. But really, she's a lot more like him. I was like, listen, it's great to be like Dad. I want to be like Dad most days, you know, like, come on. And but her way of healing was like, I want to be close to mom because I want to be like her. So she's singing in the car one day, and she kind of cracks, and we're singing, and she shut down. And I said, oh, I'm not criticizing. It's okay. That's how you get better. You just sing and you be loud. 5 minutes later, I said, you ready to talk? Is there anything you want to share? And she bawls. She goes, I got the leftovers of Yehu. And I said, oh, Joy. And she's like, and I just need to say that out loud. And I want to be just like you. And I said, you know, and then through lots of conversation and just the Holy Spirit guiding us, I said, you actually got the best of me.
Right.
And here's why. Yeah. And again, it's those moments of vulnerability came out of the suffering.
Right.
The moral of that story is these moments. I mean, again, I could share for hours. We don't want to do it again, but look how God met us. And she knows more about herself than she ever would have, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway.
That's insane. That in the natural, it's completely insane. I mean, people just go. I feel the same way. We have a brain injured daughter. Our second had a stroke in the womb, and I tell this all the time. But we wouldn't trade it. And people go, "What?" Because it's hard work, and they're like, 24-hour care. We wouldn't trade it. What she's done, the story that's been written around that. I can't imagine our life actually without this exactly the way it is. You know, the everything can be redeemed.
Everything.
Who knows what your joy is going to do?
Exactly.
Something amazing.
Something, yeah. And that's, I mean, that's the hope, this anchor for the soul.
That's so good.
That says, you know, okay, here's our story.
Yeah.
But man,
and
what a testimony.
And redemption comes out of remembering who he is.
Right.
That's unchangeable. That's how. People are like, well, how do you hold space for, like, what happened to your daughter, but yet we wouldn't trade it for anything.
Right. How can both be true?
Exactly. Right. Like, we went through something in our marriage that we wrote about, and, you know, that was so impactful. Like, how can you say you wouldn't go through, you wouldn't want that to happen? Because out of who God is for us, we can hold space for both, and he makes it beautiful.
Yes.
Bottom line.
And it takes you to places you wouldn't otherwise go.
Yeah.
You know, but nobody wants suffering.
No.
And of course not. But
it takes you. Fruit of suffering.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And, but think about that when it talks about suffering, perseverance, character, hope. Oh, you can't really fast forward to the these things, you know, which is also a powerful thing. I mean, it's wow. Yeah. So you're gonna be telling you the story of your life and family and God and all of this to as many people as you can, I'm assuming. Is that the plan?
The plan is, I mean, the reason Scripture is still so relevant, it is the living Word of God, but because we're telling people stories, you know, and people that endured lots of things. And I love that Scripture doesn't hide the scars. And I think sometimes as Christians and some growing up in the church where we're so afraid to show those parts of us, and just instead of saying, you know what, we're all in process, we're all a work in progress, and we all have our mistakes, our failures, things done to us, pains we've even caused. You know, even writing this book on family, we've always tried to create a culture of that, but I guarantee you, there'll be a handful of people that'll read that that'll think, oh, the Bennetts weren't family to us. They, you know, wasn't intentional. But my point is, we've failed at it, which is, again, kind of why we wrote it, and just to say, let's be authentic, and let's not waste our story. And I think that's our hope, is that through what we've been through in marriage, and kind of everything we said I do, 2 years ago has been tested. And I think we can at least come and say, you know what, our scars are actually what give us authority and weight in our words, not because of gifting or anything. It's just because we didn't give up. And
character
that's
been built over this because of the suffering and the perseverance.
Yeah.
Character, I'll take character over gifting every single day and twice on Sundays.
So values.
Especially, you see that now, especially with all the pastors falling and everybody's going, you know, character. I mean, that's what's produced over time. Character's not, oh, I don't smoke cigarettes.
That's right.
Character's a deep thing that comes with deep, you know what I mean? I think about somebody like Christine Kane and the power that she speaks with. Oh, and, of course, she's had her own health journey. And the authority. Yes. We talk about scars. The authority that comes when you've walked the...
There's a weightiness to it.
There is.
Yeah, there's a weightiness.
There is. And you can't learn that.
No, that didn't come from seminary.
You can't make that up.
You can't make it up.
Yeah. Which is why we wrote this book. We're coming as learners. We actually want to learn from you, you know?
Right.
We started the book, like, come sit around our table. If we're sitting at dinner, it's like, we're learning from you. You're learning for us.
Yeah.
There's an authenticity that's what connects us, you know? So
let's be friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a powerful thing. And the family unit, there's nothing more important, I think, as you know, nothing more worth fighting for. I thought I totally lost my family. Mm-hmm. Alcohol almost destroyed me. I mean, I almost destroyed me, but I happened to be. And I thought I'm totally, and my whole dream coming out of college was I want to have a great family. And I almost lost it all. 5 kids under the age of 10. I mean, talk about, whew. And I've been reflecting more and more on that experience. They talk about worth fighting for. There was nothing I wanted more in that season. I remember where I was. On the banks of the Guadalupe River down there in Kerrville, Texas.
I know Kerrville.
You know Kerrville?
I do.
Okay, I spent a little time in Kerrville.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of deer, by the way. There was nothing I wanted more than my family back. Mm. But I was like, God, if this is, you're going to have to do a miracle here, because I have totally nuked this situation.
Wow.
You know? And so even in the self-inflicted stuff, this wasn't self-inflicted.
Yeah.
Mine was actually self-inflicted. Like, all kinds of suffering, and you're going, how can God work in that?
Yeah,
I had a guy sit here a few weeks ago. I was in prison for, I don't know, 20 years or in prison, and he met the Lord, and his story, God work, like, I can't get my mind around how big and good and wonderful he is.
Yeah,
wow.
Isn't that right?
It is right. And that nothing is irredeemable.
Nothing is irredeemable.
Yeah.
So whatever you've done, I don't know where you are.
That's true.
Whatever you've done, nothing's irredeemable.
Yeah, we don't have time to unpack this story, and I know we're probably out of time, but we write about it, and I think, I don't know which chapter, maybe betrayals somewhere in there, but so year 2 of our marriage, I had an affair, and you would have thought that was very irreparable, but when God redeems something, he restores it better than it was before. It's not easy. It doesn't always look like that for some people, like how the redemption looks like, but for us, it is so much a part of our story is the redemption of how God could take a marriage that did not seem in the world's eyes and in every circumstance that it could be put back together. And of course, our marriage is not perfect.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know. It's a shocker.
Ours is.
Yeah, right, yeah, yours is. But, you know, again, it's just to your point that, like, when you trust him.
Right, right. Without him, forget it. Without him,
it.
Write that down.
Without him, forget it. That's so true.
When the bone breaks, and my son broke his wrist playing baseball, and then I saw they reset it, and then when it heals, it's stronger in that spot.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of God does that?
Yeah.
And to your point. I mean, when he restores, better than believe him, better than before. And you're going, wait a second, I don't deserve that. No, you don't. Yeah, that's for sure. But oh my gosh, you guys, you have a lot to say. I mean, you have a lot to do and be, and what a family.
Appreciate it.
The book is Fighting for Family, Chris and Julie Bennett. We could go on, but thank you guys for coming.
Thank you so much.
What a joy. What a privilege. The book is coming March of 2024, whenever you're watching this, but Fighting for Family, Chris and Julie Bennett have been my guests. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.